Hello people and hello my Chili Con Carne crew, it's Chili here for a 5-minute reviews on the Rolling Stones' newest album, Hackney Diamonds. I'd be lying if I didn't admit that the Rolling Stones was one of the last bands I thought of when you would say new music in 2023. But if there is one thing that has been consistent this year, it has to be its surprises. The band has released the odd single here and there, and I figured that they would just resign themselves to this moving forward, especially after the passing of Charlie Watts. I thought, yep. That's it. The Stones won't write anything else and will just tour until the sun fades from existence and turns supernova. But we have been blessed by the Glimmer Twins for their first new material from the band in nearly 20 years, which to many bands is a lifetime, but to the Stones, it is merely the blink of an eye. And yes, there are many more jokes about being old ahead, so consider this a warning. From the onset of this record's artwork, I was not won over. I mean, whose hearts are they gonna break? The band are approaching their 80s. The band had a somewhat disastrous launch of their opening single, Angry, when so many people flooded their website that the song couldn't even be heard, which broke the internet for reasons better than a Kardashian receiving champagne showers from Keith Richards. The fans were left split down the middle, with many liking the return to form, with others dubious of mixed vocals polished from a rock into some form of a beautiful, harder rock. Oh, I get it now. I was wondering who they would enlist to replace Charlie Watts, and it looks like the band found their rhythm section in Steve Jordan, who was a drummer on Saturday Night Live in the 70s, but you might know him more famously from this Little Evert. Okay, he wasn't in the film, but he was in the original band. In fact, looking over his career, it is one illustrious list working with the likes of Booker T and the MGs, Keb Moe, John Mellencamp, John Mayer, Stevie Nicks, Bob Dylan, Aretha Franklin, and even Keith Richards' solo albums Talk Is Cheap, Main Offender, and Cross-Eyed Heart. So he seems to be a perfect fit for the band, and sounds like it too. But Charlie Watts did record at least two of the tracks here, and with writing credits on Mess It Up and Live By The Sword. Music outlets from all over have already announced this album to be their best work since Tattoo You, but considering the material that came out after that record, it's not too hard to disagree with this statement. I mean, it's not exactly a tough sell. On the other hand, there is no reason why the Rolling Stones should be sounding this good in 2023. Take note, Roger Waters, that's how it's done. It didn't dawn on me until about halfway through listening to this album that this might be the Rolling Stones' swan song, because although we joke about this band being around since the medieval times, the rockers are truly getting on in their age, and in all reality, I don't see the band recording another album. So my initial reaction when listening to this record was one of a bittersweet emotion and vindication from their past efforts. The band have learnt to cut the crap and have 12 tracks on offer with an acceptable 50-minute runtime, and is definitely worth listening to, even if you are an old-school Stones fan who was there at the Altamont concert in California in 69. Heh, 69. Angry is a decent opening song that might sound slightly derivative of Start Me Up, but it's a good hook that sees Mick doing some strained vocal stretches with questions about not making love in some time. Please, Mick. Keep it in your pants. You only became a father again about 7 years ago. I mean, damn. I remember hearing Bite My Head Off and thinking to myself, damn, they let the bassline really play out hard in this song. And it wasn't until after I finished the album that I remembered that Paul McCartney was on this record. I instantly knew this song had to be his contribution to the band, and what a song to be part of. This tune is a blast and feels like old school high energy Stones. If you were wondering why I didn't pick this up on the first playthrough, well, it's because I'm not a big Beatles or Paul McCartney fan, so I'm not extremely familiar with his style. But it seems like poetic justice to have an ex-Beatles member be a part of a superior band. Yeah, I said it. And no, you won't change my mind. Seriously though, it's a wicked tune. Track Dreamy Skies was another tune on this record that really hit me on a personal note. The song speaks of taking a break from it all and going to some place that is far away from all humanity. I feel privileged to have a place that I can go to that is far away from civilization and just chop wood and get away from it all. So the lyrics really spoke to me. And no, that place is nowhere near Sycamore Gap. The tune also just plays to a simple blues slide guitar, which really harkens back to their older efforts from the band, particularly from the early 70s. There are plenty of decent tracks on offer here, with tracks like the slow waltz of Get Close, or the country-like tone of Depending on You. But I'll admit, I have no idea what was meant by the line, too young for dying and too old to lose. Is this song meant to be about their past selves?
You've gotta come back with me!
Keith also gets to sing again on Tell Me Straight, which is a rather deep and insightful piece about the end of the road. At least it's great to hear Bill Wyman appear on this album again since his last album, Steel Wheels, back in 1989. From what I understand, Daryl Jones worked on the sessions, but didn't appear on the final effort. Still, it's like the stars all aligned to see him return for this effort. There are still some parts that aren't as good, and for one, it's the staccato riffs on Whole Wide World, which seems to have been done a few too many times by this time this tune comes around. I mean, where are the sleazy blues solos that I know Keith can do, such as on the outro of Can't You Hear Me Knocking? It's gotta be his arthritis playing up too much, and it really affects the flow of his guitar work. Also, mixed lyrics seem to be a bit at odds for a man who has passed his legal working retirement age back around the time the Y2K virus was the only virus we were truly afraid of. I mean, the lyrics on Live By The Sword were so simple that I was wondering if he had the onset of early dementia. At least Elton John's piano jaunt picks the piece back up, but it's still the weakest track on here in my opinion. Also, his vocals sound rather prestige. Kinda leaves me wondering just how much post-production was required to assist him on this record. Still, at the same time, it feels like a group of musicians coming together to celebrate the greatest rock and roll band in history on this one record. I think it has a perfect blend of guest musicians with only a handful on this record, and when they are on the songs, it's only like adding a cherry on top, rather than pushing them up front and center like a pin-up model on stage. Now we must talk about the song Sweet Sounds of Heaven, and what a way to close out the album. This 7.5 minute piece is, I believe, worthy for one of their greatest pieces ever written, and is everything the band do right. A slow build-up assisted with Stevie Wonder's on keys, and Jagger giving some solid vocal deliveries before Lady Gaga joins him in some rather soulful harmonies, before the saxophone kicks off the band, and before you know it, we get this intensely blissful tune ringing in our ears as it builds to a crescendo and bows out. The band then take us out with a slow jam, and it's just truly moving. Also, it's a nice touch that the closing song on the record is a cover of Muddy Waters, a massive influence of Keith Richards, and his piece Rolling Stones Blues, as if to allude to what we will miss when all is done, and we are fighting for our lives in a post-apocalyptic Mad Max-like world. Overall, I will be scoring this album 8.5 million chilies on the spicy scale, with my favourite tracks being Get Close, Bite My Head Off, Dreamy Skies, and Sweet Sounds of Heaven. If this isn't the Rolling Stones' last album, then I will eat my own hat. But deep down, we know the truth. Maybe I am blinded by my love for the Rolling Stones and giving them a bit of a free pass here, but I do believe that this is a very strong album. Their strongest in quite some time, and better than even some of their 60s or 70s material. Keep an eye out on my channel because I plan to cover the Rolling Stones' entire discography on a tier list album by album in the near future, and if that's something that you would be interested in, make sure to subscribe and get notified for future content. For now though, let's raise our glasses to the Rolling Stones and what is perhaps their finest effort in quite a long time. If you've enjoyed this content, make sure to smash that like button, subscribe to us, and stay notified for future music-related content, because it keeps our manager happy at the end of the day. We are also on Discord, Instagram, Facebook, and all those other social platforms if you want to check us out. As always, people, you have a great day, and stay spicy.